Mercy, mercy, mercy. We need to be crying for mercy. Muchly so, God help us. We are definitely in a trial as far as America is concerned, as far as the church is concerned. When we come to a trial, there are always those who fall by the wayside. When God put things together for us, as far as the church is concerned, He never made a mistake.
Amen.
Every church is established by the will of God and the purpose of God. Every individual assembly, that is. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ has gone through many winnowing processes. This is another. As you live and breathe in this generation, God is taking us through a winnowing process.
Amen.
Now, that winnowing process is going to be disappointing to some of us, but it's going to be enlightening to others. A winnowing process is the process of taking the grain, casting it into the wind, and guess what happens? The chaff is blown away,
yes,
and the wheat falls to the ground,
yes,
ready to be used by the owner.
Amen.
The church belongs to Jesus. It doesn't belong to you, doesn't belong to me, doesn't belong to Brother Gary. The other preacher in the world, it belongs to the Lord Jesus. And the fact that He established it, and by His own blood He purchased it, then He's watching over it.
Amen.
And every one of us who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ will pass the test.
Amen.
Not a few of us, but all of us. All of God's little children will pass the test.
Amen.
Now, we've been in a test for the last 2 weeks. This is the third of those. When Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. And we know that all things, here we are hung up again, all things. How in the world can all things work for my benefit and His glory? Because God's in the mix. It's the hands of God that's mixing the ingredients and making it turn out to our benefit and for His glory. I was speaking to a preacher friend of mine the other day, and he said, "Brother Larry, I just don't understand some things. I just can't put it together." And I said to him, "It's not meant for us to understand everything. It's meant for us to believe God in spite of the things that take place."
Right.
Things will happen in your life that you'll wonder, "How in the world could God do this to me?" And then you'll wake up one morning and say, "Well, why didn't God do that to me?" And worse.
Yes.
Huh? God is in the correcting business. He'll correct His church.
Yes.
He'll correct His children.
Yes.
And the church is going to be presented to the Lord Himself.
Amen.
As a chaste virgin, without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. That means it's going to be in pretty good shape, right?
Yes.
So don't worry about whether or not the church is going to fall by the wayside. It shan't. Jesus promised Simon Peter and you and I that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
So don't worry about it.
Amen.
Just keep on keeping on.
Amen.
Keep believing God. Keep believing this passage of Scripture. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, there's where we're in the test mode in this verse. Do we really love God?
Amen.
To them that love God.
Right.
And here's some of the questions we've dealt with. If you love God, then you're going to love Him in spite of what takes place around you. If you're in love with someone, you love them in spite of the things that happen, don't you?
Yes.
Even in times of disappointment, you still love them. In times of joy and gladness, you still love them. Why then should we, in times when things look bad, as far as the surroundings are concerned, why then do God's people, why would God's people turn a deaf ear and turn their shoulders?
Amen.
And I say to you tonight that God's people would not do that.
Amen.
Will not do that. God's people shall persevere. We shall persevere. Did you hear that? We shall persevere. We will wind up in glory one of these days, because this verse is so. I come tonight to some other questions. Let's deal with these for a few moments. I wonder tonight, when we talk about loving God, the outgrowth of that love to God is literally hatred to sin. If you love God, then you hate the things He hates.
Amen.
You can't have one that you love that you don't agree with them, for the most part, on what they like and what they dislike. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, if you love the God of glory, then you're going to despise and hate the things that He despises and hates. Ephraim is said to say, "What have I to do anymore with idols?" You see, God had turned the mind of Ephraim, because at one time He said, "Let her alone. Let them go. Let them perish." But Ephraim said, "I'll have no more to do with idols." Why? Because they've turned to God.
Amen.
And they're loving God rather than their idols.
Amen.
Now hear me. We will not fail the test. Many of us will get to the point to where we think, how in the world can I do one more thing? How can I take one more step?
Amen.
And the fact is, you will.
Amen.
By the grace of God, you will.
Amen.
I wonder though, as I think about idols, we don't have the kind of idols that they had in days gone by. We don't. They're still very much alive and well in this world today, whether you know it or not. There are religious institutions that are bent on bowing to idols. Men made them with their hands, and they call them gods. Now the God of glory has told us not to make any likeness of Him. That includes Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So we've decided we're not going to do that. So we build other idols. We have all kinds of idols. Idols in our homes, idols at work, idols in our play, and especially in our play. We're living in a nation that worships idols by massive proportions come football day, baseball day, basketball day. Every other thing that men do and men do to entertain themselves and entertain others, all of that is gods.
Amen.
We have invented gods, plural, and we're bowing to those gods, plural. By the way, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but recently some of those gods have proven to be what they are.
Amen.
They don't love the things you love. They don't stand for the things you stand for. I've often wondered how an idiot can make millions of dollars a year. I mean, he can't find his way home at night, can't read his own name in boxcar letters. And he's a millionaire. And he got there because of the nation being founded the way it is. And he wants to destroy it. Now, is that stupid or that stupid? Did I tell you something? Huh? You need to think about that. That shows you just how smart they really are. Politicians, God help us. Now listen, folks, we're in a mess in America. And we better soon wake up and realize that we don't have a whole lot of time now to write this thing if God will let us do it. But we need to do it by the grace of God. It needs to be righted. And if America survives this next election, it'll be God and God alone that does it. Because we don't deserve it. God knows we do not deserve it. But I've prayed for mercy, and I shall pray for mercy. I'll cry for mercy. God have mercy on this land. Our forefathers have bled and died. They don't care. The flag still waves, but they don't care. They want to take it down. Our policemen still walk the street, but they don't care. They want to do away with them. The laws, they want to do away with them. Anarchy rules in our streets. And we come to church and act like nothing is going on outside. We need to come to the house of God and leave our cares out there, but we don't need to leave the things that we need to be concerned about out there. We need to bring them before God. Amen. And lay them before God and say, God, here they are. We can't do anything about it. We don't have the ability to do it, but you can and you will, and we expect you to do it. I love this nation. I believe God loves this nation. I believe America is where she is tonight because God in heaven loves this country. Israel is blooming again. God has kept us alive to be the big brother to Israel. And the mercy that we've received, I'm just as sure as I'm standing here tonight, is because God in heaven has given us men in places of authority to understand that God has chosen Israel. And those who bless Israel, God will bless. And he's done that through the years. Because the church has been a blessing to Israel. Thank the Lord. Amen. Ruth has been a blessing to Naomi. Amen. If you love the Lord, you'll love the things the Lord loves. That's all there is to it. Amen. You're living in a nation that churches assembled this morning. I say, let's say assemblies, that call themselves churches assembled this morning and declared their allegiance to the Black Lives Matter movement. Churches, so called. Now, how can that be in America? Say, well, the way it's presented, listen to me. This is an anarchist outfit, and they're bent on destroying this nation. They are not here in order to honor black lives. We honor black lives more than they do. A black man's life is as important as my life is. Amen. And your life is. But hell has saddled the movement and is trying to destroy this nation thereby. And preachers and people are being deceived by the multitude, and our schools are teaching this garbage. Bit on destroying what you and I grew up to love. Amen. In America. And they're doing it under the guise of trying to make people feel sympathetic. Well, if you've got a heart, you are sympathetic. But you don't need to get involved in that mess. Wrong way to go. Love what God loves. Let me give you another. I need to move through some of this tonight if I can. To love our Lord is to literally be crucified to the world. Amen. That's a hard thing. Amen. That is a hard thing. My brother and I both have preached down through the years that God will take every one of his men to Calvary. All of us have a Calvary. Squire Parsons wrote a song dealing with that very thing. All of us have a Calvary. Somewhere down the road, God is going to crucify you. If you go to glory, somewhere along the road, you're going to have a Calvary. Amen. God's going to crucify you to the world and the world to you. You're going to have a separation. Though we're in the world, we have to understand that. But at the same time, we realize that we are not a part thereof. We're pilgrims and strangers in this world. And the world hates us. And they hate us because they know we're right. Did you hear that? They hate us because they know we're right. In John chapter 17, our Lord said about his disciples, of whom you and I are now, our Lord said, they hate them because I have given them thy word. Because we have the word of God, because God has blessed us with this book, the world hates us. But again, they hate us because they know we're right. Amen. The world has nothing of value to offer you. Did you hear that? The world has nothing of value to offer you. Everything in this old world someday will melt and be destroyed. Everything you've laid up, everything you think you own, but don't be surprised if this thing goes sour come November.
Amen.
Don't be surprised if the government comes and takes everything you have.
Amen.
Because they really own it. You don't own it. And they will do that. Why? I say to you today, why? God help us, why are we so vested in the world when our citizenship is somewhere else? I've been in nearly every nation under the sun. I never invested anything there because my citizenship was here.
Amen.
And I wanted to get out of there as fast as I could. I've never been to another nation that I wanted to stay. Never seen one as beautiful. Never had people treat me like they treat me at home. Are you listening to me? I just don't fit in those other places. The same thing is so spiritually. You don't fit down here because your citizenship is in another world.
Amen.
Paul said, and you're dead. And if we're dead, then we'd act like we're dead to the world and alive toward God.
Amen.
So we live in another world. We're citizens of another world. By the way, we are ambassadors with portfolio. Let me explain that to you. An ambassador is one who goes to another nation representing his home nation, right? And as a military man, I went to other nations and I represented my nation, but I did not represent my nation with portfolio. I didn't have my government's permission to speak on its behalf to them. Did you hear what I said? Now, we have people who are acting like they have our government's permission, going to other nations and belittling our nation. We had a president that done that. You are in this world with portfolio. That means you can represent the world where your citizenship is. That means you can really talk about heavenly things. That means you can talk about it with authority. Hey, thank God you can say it with authority because you have the manual with you.
Amen.
So we're representatives in this world of another kingdom. Our love to the Lord means that we're crucified to this world. Then at the same time, there is a displeasing, a displeasure, if you will, on our part when something is done against our God, against our church, against God's men, against the Word of God, against the songs of Zion. Couldn't I stay here for a while? Are you displeased when someone uses God's name in vain?
Amen.
Are you displeased when someone says something disparaging about the assembly where you meet? Are you displeased when men make a mockery of this book? Are you displeased when they take the songs of Zion and make hip-hop or rock songs from them? That grieves my soul. It grieves my soul when people use my God's name in vain. I gave you some examples of that in past lessons. But how much so? How much so we as God's people ought to be displeased when people make a mockery of the things of God? And I'm fearful that we aren't as much so as we should be. Paul talked about grieving the Spirit in Ephesians chapter number 4. We grieve God's Spirit, and then we expect God to be a blessing to us. I've given you some examples. Let me just move through this again. If I make my wife angry at me, I'm a little cautious the next meal I eat. Say, why, she wouldn't do anything like that. You don't know that woman like I know that woman. When we grieve God's Spirit and we just act as though nothing has taken place and we expect God to keep blessing as He has, then how foolish are we? Amen. We've grieved His Spirit. Amen. He's displeased with our actions. Yeah. Now, it ought to displease us when others say disparaging things about our God. Amen. Or anything pertaining thereto. Then there's jealousy. I wonder why we really have no jealousy for the things of God. If you love, there's a jealous streak somewhere. Now, I tried to keep mine hid. Ginger just throwed his out in front. I mean, but she let me know right quick. But when you love, there is a jealousy. What is that jealousy? God is declared to be a jealous God. Time and time and time again, God declares Himself to be a jealous God. Now, what does that mean? That means that we belong to Him, that God loves us. Now, if we love Him, then surely we ought to be jealous for the things of God. Now, if I'm jealous for the things of God, I want to protect the things of God. I want to give to the support of the things of God. I want to be present when the meetings are taking place. Amen. I want to sing the songs of Zion. I want to know the touch of God when it comes on the assembly. I'm jealous for those things. Amen. And God's children should always be jealous for the things of God. But I'm fearful that we fail in that aspect. We're just not jealous enough, which means literally that we don't love enough. If you're really in love, you're jealous. Now, some jealousy comes out of pride. That's foolish jealousy. But the jealousy that grows out of love is the right kind of jealousy. It's the thing that protects. It's the thing that drives all of us to be cautious. If God is jealous, shouldn't that drive us to be cautious? Jealousy will drive you crazy if it's a wrong kind. But jealousy birthed out of love will cause you to be a protective individual and protect that you love to the end of your days. I just told you something. I hope you listen. The God of glory is jealous over every one of us that are His. And do you think for one moment He's not going to protect us to the end of His days? Not our days, but His days. Now, when is that? Never, 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 never. So we're protected. As God's little children, we are protected. Hallelujah. Thank God. The lover of God is more concerned that the Spirit is grieved than that he offend the rulers or man's law. In California, tried it in our adjoining state. And if this mess goes on, they'll do it in the state of Virginia.
Amen.
And they'll do it in the state of Tennessee and every other state in this nation. But in the state of California, a man that I know is going through a rough thing right now with his church. Because they said, don't meet.
Yeah.
And John MacArthur said, we march to a different drumbeat.
Yes.
We honor a higher law than the law of this land.
Yes, sir.
Now they're meeting, but the government is doing everything they can. The government of California is doing everything they can to shut him down.
Yeah.
They're fining him every day of his life, $5,000 a day. Their parking lots belong to other people. They have them leased. And the government went to the other people,
yes,
and said, we need you to void the leases. So they're in court about that now. Now look up here. Listen to me. This nation was founded. You can't have this thing two ways. This nation was founded with religious liberties.
Amen.
They talk about separation of church and state, and they've taken prayer out of the schools.
Amen.
Any semblance of God has been taken from the schools. Teachers have been silenced to where they are in jeopardy of losing their jobs if they use the name God. The Lord Jesus Christ especially. And now they're saying to churches, you can't meet. But this book in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25 and following, declares that we are not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, the writer says. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now what he's saying is, even more so, you need to be meeting as the day of the end time is approaching.
Amen.
Now folks, if you know anything about this Bible, if you know anything about history, if you know anything about this globe, you know that it's just about over.
Amen.
Some of us we'll probably live to see the Lord Jesus Christ come. Say, well, they've said that down through the years. Yeah, that's what the Word of God says that you'd say. Where's the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. But the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. One day is with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. This thing's about over. And this old thing that we're walking around on is going to melt with fervent heat. God's going to destroy it.
Amen.
And remake it. Amen. And repopulate it. That being so, how much more so should you and I be devoted to the reality that God's right and man's wrong? My brother and I discussed this when all this mess started, and people decided, well, we're not going to have church, not going to have church. And we decided we're going to have church.
Amen.
We're going to have church because that's what God told us to do. And when the government says we're not going to have church, we're going to have church.
Amen.
Because that's what God told us to do.
Amen.
And if we can't trust God to care for us and watch over us and take care of us in the midst of all this, so far He's done so.
Amen.
This thing's so blown out of proportion because it's a political thing. And one of these days, I think we're going to find out that there's coercion and collusion between some people here in the United States of America and the situation in Wuhan, China.
Amen.
That brought this thing here. Now, I may be wrong about that, but everything's pointing in that direction now. And they're blowing it out of proportion entirely. A nurse told me the other day, she said that she had taken her aunt strep throat. They gave her the medication and wrote down on the report that she had the Wuhan virus, COVID-19. She said, I don't have the virus. No, but we have to write it down that way. Now, you know what that means? That means here's somebody that has a COVID virus, and all she's got is a sore throat. You understand that? So the number goes crazy out there. All of these things are taking place right in front of our eyes. So you go to stump your toe and go to the doctor, they're liable to write you down as a statistic. Hello? So, well, don't do that bad. Well, what's that? Hey, a sore throat and it's a Wuhan virus? Not hardly. Now, if they're doing that and they're doing it openly enough for folks to know about it, if they're doing that and doing it openly, just how crooked is this whole mess? Now, I said that to say this, and I'm finished. There's a great pretense among people today of loving the Lord. Did you hear the words? Amen. A great pretense of people loving the Lord. Let me show you just one, and I'm finished. Listen carefully. People have more reverence to a picture, a semblance, they say, of Christ hanging on their wall than to do the Christ that's supposed to be in their heart. Amen. They'll dust that picture, make sure it's hanging exactly right, but never do anything about the wickedness in their hearts. Amen. And say they love God. Amen. We're living in a pretend world. Pretension is hypocrisy when it comes to spirituality. And the hypocrite is not a child of God. They're a make-believe. They're clowns. That's what the word means, clown. They put on the robe. They put on the garment. They use the language. But in their heart, wickedness prevails. But they'll honor the picture and not honor the God of glory. Now listen carefully. If you're not careful, you'll fall into that boat. Amen. You and I both know people that do that. Amen. They think far more of that picture on the wall, which has no semblance of Christ whatsoever. I could go into all this. I don't need to. I'm just going to say this. Listen carefully. Our Lord says we're to have nothing, nothing that would portray Him. God is spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Yes. Our Lord Jesus Christ came before cameras. There are no pictures made. There was no paintings made of Him. All of that is just somebody's hope to make a dollar bill. And they've done it. Amen. And they've fooled a lot of people doing so. When you think more of a picture on the wall than you do the God of glory, the Christ who died to pay the debt for your sin. You think more of a picture on the wall than you do the Holy Ghost of God, and you grieve Him and quench Him and fail the test. Amen. When Satan puts it before you. Amen. Do you really love the Lord? Amen. That's the question. That's the whole of the question. All these other things are just sub-questions. The question is, do you love the Lord? Yes, sir. See, Romans 8:28 is not to everyone. It's to them that love God. Is that right?
Yes.
Simply put, to them that love God. It's not everybody. You can't go out there and say to everybody on the street, oh, it's going to be fine. God's going to work this out for your benefit and His glory. It's going to be fine. No, 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 no. To them that love God.
Amen.
Now, if they don't love God, don't expect everything to work out well for them. It's definitely going to work out well at the end. Oh, no. God help us in America tonight. God help us now, right now, in this place, in this hour. God help us to decide by the grace of God that we're going to love God. We're going to love Him in spite of the world, in spite of everything out there. We're going to love God because we want things to work out for our benefit and for God's glory. If you're jealous for the glory of God, then you want to do what God wants you to do. And you love Him. Lord Jesus, I pray we've been plain enough.